Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Awakenings. It's always great to connect with everyone on Wednesday, our wonderful Wednesday. Hello, chat room. Hello, everybody listening via iTunes and, of course, the BTR archives. As you're here with us always in spirit. And thanks for the comments. I always love the appreciation comments on iTunes and also on the Awakenings radio page on Facebook, which you can find by just my name or just going to Awakenings Radio, Awakenings with Michelle Mache. And come by and say hi. Give us some love and let us know what you're doing and how your awakening is unfolding and just how your life is going in general. Hello, Tamara. We've got the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, also known as the chat room. People getting in there now. Always great to see everybody. We've got a really cool program today. We have, and I don't know if anybody remembered, it's been a few years, Sister Sri will be with us. Amazing, amazing devotional musician or kirtan singer. Just really, you know me, my music, I kind of found her, stumbled upon her years ago, but very well known, lives part-time in New York and India, travels doing concerts and sharing her love, her devotion, the Shakti through her music and her band Hanuman. So we're going to connect with her at 12:50. But before then, we are going to get to questions. We've got some great questions, the email questions that came in. We're really going to dive into that. And, of course, readings. And if you'd like a reading, you'd like to chat, you'd like to say hello, you can just call 347-539-5122 and, of course, press 1 on the keypad, and that gets you on air, gets you in the queue, rather, to get on air, okay? So wonderful. Oh, I've been working. I'm a little late getting on air because my new website is almost up. Solar Living, S-O-U-L-A-R. Going to be very interactive. Also, a lot of resources for people to use. And just so excited. I think it might be done in the next couple of weeks, at least phase one of it. So. Got a great web designer, Jen Mathieu at 31 Studios, doing some amazing work. So if anybody's needing someone that does that kind of stuff, she's pretty busy, pretty big, booked up, but you never know. So there you have that. So again, if you're calling in online for a question or comment or to say hi, the number's 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. I see a 267 and some other people coming up. Just press 1. That lets me know you want to get on air. Tamara in the chat, awesome. Sounds like a great website. Yeah, you know, what I love, and I don't know is if it's the psychic part of me, I'm sure it's tied into that. I've got a lot of Aquarius in my chart. I'm very visionary. There's things that I have seen, 10, 15 years ago? Is that right? 90s, late 90s, 2000, 2001, that weren't yet available, but I had this vision. And I've worked quite a bit with Jennifer, and she said, oh, then you can't do that yet. Oh, not yet. Or you can only do it on these kinds of sites. I'm like, oh. You know, you've heard my story. I wanted my meditations on iTunes. Well, they only had music and well-known musicians, you know. But I thought, gosh, and when I started doing all these projects, I would joke with my friends. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to write Steve Jobs. I'm going to go to Apple, and I'm going to say, carry this. I think you need to have meditation, spoken word. I think, you know, we need to do we didn't have podcasts back then, right? But, you know, I had that idea of, I didn't have a name for it, and lo and behold, it's there. So you wait long enough, the technology comes around. And now some of the things that I've wanted on my website, the technology is there to have it. So it's really going to be fun. It's going to be, we've got the Soul Playground on there. We've got a lot of cool resources just to really have a great, fun, inspired, insightful community for conscious living, conscious lifestyle. So, but what I love, there's a lot of free stuff. People can just go get readings, do whatever, you know, a lot of get some of the support, get the information, get the insights, and I'm really big on that. So I will keep everyone posted. And of course, if you email me to get on the newsletter, get Solar Living newsletter, and you can email awakeningsradio@gmail.com or awakenings@selfandlight.com and just put sign me up, subscribe, hey, keep me in the loop, keep me posted, and I will do that. Or our team will, our Self and Light Solar Living team will. And Tamara, yes, everybody's going to be playing in the Soul Playground. Got some cool things planned for that. And Tamara, yes, I witnessed you as a visionary. Yeah, some of you have been around with me for, you know, the whole unfolding of Awakenings when it started on Cosmic Dimensions, the radio station, and when I was just doing a half hour, and I remember when I got asked to do the program, I'm like, what am I going to do? Well, first by my guides, do this show called Awakenings. Then somebody connected me with Richard Footed of Cosmic, you know, D as I call it, and I'm like, what am I going to talk about? Now you can't shut me up, right? But I was like, okay, guides, come on, come through, channel, let's go. And now doing this so much and the teleworkshops and even the soul path, I have to watch the clock. I could keep talking for an hour, hour and a half. You know, I look at people, I go, oh, they're kind of yawning. I think I'm going on a little too long. So, but Tamara definitely has been here. And I so, you know, I really appreciate I got to tell you, the chat room, Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, really holds the energy, grounds the energy. I'm not kidding, joking around when I say they are my co-pilots, co-hosts, really. Tamara's putting in the chat, you've been in the leadership archetype. Yeah, you know, but I do look at it as playing. I got to be honest, I will try just about anything. Even with my CDs and even the first book I did, I got a download to do a publisher had wanted me to do a biography, and I'm like, oh, I haven't done enough yet. Plus, I don't want to be airing. I want to make it bigger, then I'll air my dirty laundry, okay, everybody? Then I'll air the dysfunction that I came from. But until then, my passion is really inspiring people and helping people and letting people know you don't wear where you came from. And I've done quite a bit of work with at-risk youth. And I would look at them and say, okay, what do you think's happened? Oh, you've had a privilege. Oh, you've done this. I'm like, yeah, but bad things happen to me, but you don't have to wear it. That's the thing. Don't wear what's happened to you, you know. Don't define yourself by that or where you came from or what you had or didn't have. And not that mine was so horrible. I mean, there's way worse. But, you know, everybody kind of gets into that whole thing. And I don't mind doing that if people ask, but I think there's just so much in the moment to do, and I believe like the artists and any great artist, Frida Kahlo, especially that I call her my Saint Patroness, my patron saint, you know, you take what's happened to you, the angst, or even if it's teenage puppy love angst or whatever, but you take whatever you're going through, the passion, the uncertainty, whatever you have, and to me, that's your grist to create from, whatever you're creating. Some of you see on Instagram, I'm always taking pictures, you know, and sometimes pictures and putting words. And I've always been like that from a little kid. That's the age of the soul. That is the soul. The soul wants to play and create. You got to heal. Yeah, things happen and it's heavy and it's, you know, horrible. And, you know, there's all that too. But if you're blessed to have that little tickle or that spark that doesn't keep you there, then don't make yourself stay there. That's all I'm saying. Tamara put in there, you are not your story. Ah, that's so true. Ooh, Divine Mystics putting in the chat, that is one thing I realized from a Teller Soul the workshop last time. Don't wear what has happened to you. No more victim. Yay, Gail. Yeah. I've got stories. I mean, really. And I think we still, the old paradigm, we still make, we want to still, you know, I even got told that, I remember when I was starting to do more, not my TV show, but I was starting to do some more, going on and talking about meditation or being psychic, going on to some TV programs, and they always wanted this big story, you know, what bad happened to you. And I'm like, you know, can't we just talk? Can't we just inspire each other? Why does it always have to be the ones that you listen to who've had the most horrible background, a horrible life? And I think that's changing. I definitely see and feel it changing from in the new paradigm, because I feel like we're so moving away from learning lessons. You know, I heard something this morning. Actually, I was watching an early morning show, and there was a psychic on there who was talking about the learning lessons again. And we all came here to learn, and, you know, and then you go back and you leave. And I'm like, you know what? The reality, that's a belief, but it's like, what was it, Einstein that said, you know, if it's all, what is it, the saying, all based on imagination, or was it Carl Jung, might as well pick a good one, you know. If everything's based on our imagination, we're creating it, might as well pick a good reality or a magical reality, in my point of view. So the cosmic joke, I feel, that will be uncovered in this, through the new emerging consciousness of the new paradigm, is everybody lighten up. You're here to play. Some play is heavier, and the others, we're always going to learn. Think of kids, though. Kids, when they come in, you know, little toddlers, they're not going, I'm here to learn. Oh, what's that, you know, phone? What's that iPhone? What's that smartphone? What's that device? Oh, what are those glasses? You know, mommy or daddy's glasses. I need to learn about those. No, they're curious. So really, if you start stripping down some of these beliefs and you really go to how we came in our life, that is the reason we're here, is simply just to be us. I've been doing these soul path, I call them, they're soul path life expression readings, but on my website they're called soul expression readings, and it looks at your soul path, your soul blueprint, soul design. I take astrology and blend it with a soul layout, and then mix numerology and then my psychic intuitive abilities, and you get to see what's the soul path, what is that person, you know, going through on a mundane level, and then how is it manifesting in their life expression. And I've done these readings for infants, just newly born, or even a year, 2 year old toddler, and the parents will go, oh my God, they're already doing that, or they do that. And I will tell the parents, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to give you a major heads up right now. Your children are not going to change. The energy that they're born with, the energy that you see, you see the toddler that's racing around, I said, is always going to have that energy. The toddler that's sitting and just playing with one thing very, you know, quietly is always going to have that energy. Parents, you know, educators, we need to learn to work with the child's energy, the template, the energetic pattern that they came in with, not the one that we think is going to be easier to deal with, or more cool, or more, you know, studious or academic, you know, or more successful. But, and again, that will become an everyday occurrence in the new paradigm, that you deal with. Even human design taps into this a bit, but to really just look at, okay, so all of us, you can look back and say you have the same, I'm sure what Tamara's putting in the chat, divine mystic, right? Can't you look back on your life and you can see, unless, unfortunately, we get squelched by, you know, not so conscious parenting and not so conscious educational systems to try to, you know, squelch everybody. And I used to have this dream years ago that I was on this planet, a red type of soup, and everybody kept eating the same soup. And I stopped. I didn't eat the bowl, and it stopped the whole production line. And I said, I don't want this kind of soup. I had this dream as a kid. No, I don't want this soup anymore. I want pea soup. Everybody else, I don't know what they had. I said, I want the green soup. That's the soup you have along the conveyor belt. And all the soups, you know, crunched together and started falling all over because I didn't take mine. So anyway, Divine Mystic is saying, yes, infants' readings are powerful, astrological, intuitive, very helpful. Yes, so true. Tamara is saying in the chat, that was ascension, means literally lightening up with a positive, joyful soul expression. It feels good, yes. And Tamara, you're kind of an example of that, I feel, if anybody goes to her Facebook page, all her postings, but also that joy. And the ascension is lightening up. Yeah, you know, we're in this form, but to be light about it and to expand. Okay, I see people online for readings. We will be getting to you. Again, the number for readings, to talk, to chat, to ask questions is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad. Lets me know you're in queue and want to get on air. I just want to tap into a couple of questions that we had online. Again, people, you can email awakenings@selfandlight.com or awakeningsradio@gmail.com. We have a lot of questions about dreams, so I'm going to tap into that, and then we'll go to the phone lines because I definitely want to do some readings. I love doing readings on air. I do. I like doing them anywhere, but I love my Wednesdays with you all. Okay, I had quite a few email questions come in, one about water in dreams and also vibrant colors. A lot of people ask me about what does water mean. And what I'm going to suggest to everyone is that I'm going to give you basic archetypal interpretations, but then you need to personalize it yourself. So colors, I always say look at the chakras. Look at the representational systems that you have, you know, in your world, collectively and also individually. So what does something mean to you? In other words, green, we think of health, we think of nature, maybe trees, bushes, but what else does it mean to you? For some it means the heart chakra, heart opening. Others, rose pink or light pink is going to be the heart chakra, or it's going to mean love, or maybe it's going to be female, something feminine. So you always want to go with what's more of the collective or generalized interpretation, and then also personalize it, because it'll be somewhere in between. And so water, it depends. This person was just telling me that, and I'm not going to read the whole email because it's a very long email with a lot of different symbolism, but I had about 5 or 6 email questions about water, colors, and sex in dreams. So we're going to touch on that. And then a little bit about energy shifts, personal and collective. So water has to do with emotions, nurturing. If you know, for instance, a toilet overflooding, do you need to cleanse or clean? Or do you need to cleanse your emotions? Are your emotions stopped up? You know, the pipes clean. Do you need free-flowing emotions? Are you stopping your emotions? You know, or, you know, is it a you know, tsunami type thing, right? Or a huge wave that you're being engulfed by emotions. So water also has a lot to do with balance. You know, we are 70% water. So I would always say, look at, are you getting enough water, literally? Are you eating high water content foods? Are you fluid in your life, or where are you stagnant? You know, so those are some things that I would look at. In the few of the email questions that I got about water, my sense is that they're all were emotional in nature, and one particularly I felt had to do with ingesting water, maybe some dietary changes to clear out or cleanse. Sex in dreams. I've been having this a lot with clients, not sex in dreams, but maybe I have. I don't know. I'm not going to tell. No. but I've been getting a lot of questions about this with clients in groups and also email questions. And I think one of the things that I want to share is that because we've done so much, you know, astral clearing, you know, still to do more, that your dreams are going to be more active now, because that is one of the ways that your soul self or the soul higher self comes through. I mean, that sleep state, waking state, a lot of you heard me say this, that, you know, a lot of integration is done, assimilation through dreams of the day or issues that you're having or areas of growth or learning lessons or areas of expansion in your life or next steps. It can be next steps that your higher self is giving you, or if you're doing a lot of inner work, it can also be pointing, look here, look here. Sex and dreams, most often, I would say 99.9% or 90, let's do 99.5, how's that, or 7, have to do with integration. Like some people worry, oh my God, I'm married, to a man and I have dreams about having sex with a woman, or I'm a man and I'm having dreams about another man. You know, the ultimate integration or the ultimate ascension is the orgasm, is the sex act. That's the ultimate coming together, right? That's what Tantra is about, within yourself first and foremost. So when you are having dreams about dreams that you're having sex with somebody, look at that person and see what are the qualities that you're now needing to integrate. Are you needing to integrate more feminine qualities, masculine qualities? Are they more leader? Are they more, are you very out there in the world and you're having sex with somebody that's very inward? So it's really always about, because the psyche, the inner psyche always wants balance. It wants to reach a homeostasis similar to our body and our mind for that matter. So we live in a world of imbalance to get into balance. You grow, you learn something, and there's an extending out. Then you need to rebalance or reintegrate. You need to assimilate and reintegrate from that point of view. That's what we call in transitional counseling. You get into that next structure. You create a new organism. It's like you have 12 chakras, and the 13th is a new, there's a change. So there's a new organism. So we change after we assimilate a lot and then integrate it, we're therefore changed, right? You eat something. Your body is on a biochemical, molecular level. There is a change because of what you've introduced to it. The consciousness changes by what you put into your mind, the thoughts, the people that are around you. There's a change. So fear not. It doesn't mean anything. It's a much different thing than if you're having an erotic dream. That's a whole different. But it's just interesting. I find questions kind of come in like bunches, whether it's people I'm working with personally or on a group level, or even that are emailing me questions in. I find that there'll be a theme. And the last, I would say, 2 weeks, it's been this theme of I'm having sex in my dream. What does that mean? Or it's not I'm not gay, but I'm having a dream about a woman. What does that mean? Am I suppressing something? Or I'm married and I love my husband or my wife, and I'm having this dream. So no, it's about assimilation and integration of those qualities of that person that is in the dream. One person that had emailed me, they were rejecting this person and didn't like them, and in fact hated them. And I said, well, you need to look at what within you are you rejecting, what part. And it was this part that they didn't want to be vulnerable. They did not like their vulnerability. And I said, well, on a soul level, that's exactly what you need to integrate in a life-enhancing way. You need to make peace with that part of you, that you can't always be steely strong, or there's a strength in vulnerability. So again, your soul is speaking through the dream to say, look, this is what you need for more life enhancement, more fulfillment. This is what you need to integrate. It also means look at the people that you're drawing in, that you're drawn to, what kind of people that you're meeting. That will also tell you what you're needing to integrate for more wholeness and more soul expression. Tamara's putting in the chat, I've started noticing themes too and energy. Like now there is a theme of truth, honesty, integrity with telling ourselves the truth. Yes, and I just wrote about that, Tamara. I think I wrote about it in the those people that are doing private programs with me or the Soul Path workshops, whether in person or the teleworkshop. I do a weekly heads up. And Tamara, I had been seeing that. And so I really got into what honesty means, and that it comes from integrity and truth. It doesn't necessarily mean blabbing everything. But honesty comes from Middle English and Middle French, honneur, to and honeste, to honor. So yeah, there's something. Often your blog is on the current theme, yeah, because I kind of tune in. That's what I love. The guys give a heads up, and I like that we're reframing that word honesty. I feel it really puts it back on us of you know, individually, each of us is, ooh, am I really honoring me? Am I honoring myself, my life? Am I honoring what's important to me? Am I honoring my time? Am I honoring my connections? And instead of, you know, back in the 90s and even, you know, 80, oh, blah, 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 is, oh, I'm honest. So I just say everything, you know, no boundaries. Ah, I just do everything. No, that's really not being honest. It's integrity, truth, and that honoring. So just really quick, this is for Juliet, energy shifts. One thing, if you're feeling, a lot of people have been writing me and saying that they feel very tired or they feel very draggy. What I would suggest is also to kind of honestly look at your life and notice how much you're probably doing. Every time I get this question, I always think back to when I was teaching meditation at Agape Spiritual Center, and I had a wonderful student that she kept saying how she would fall asleep during meditation and on her own and in my class. And she said, I love your class. I love your meditations, but I always fall asleep. There must be something wrong with me. And I could clearly see, I thought, I bet you she's really busy. You know, I said, well, sometimes it's healing to fall asleep or get into a light slumber because you're doing a deeper healing. Maybe that's more what you're needing. And turned out she was in school full time. I believe it was lawyer or med. It was something pretty, you know, pretty meaty. And she had to drive 45 minutes, go to work, and then do a commute. I guess, you know, how you park in this place, and she, you know, did this commute. Work late, and then come back, and then to take the class at Agape Spiritual Center was, I think, an hour and a half, maybe 2 hour drive. And I went, no wonder you're tired. She goes, what? What do you mean? I go, did you realize what you just shared with us, all of us in the class? And I said, that's a heavy schedule. I said, so sleep for a while, catch up on your sleep, and the meditation will come back in. So why I'm sharing this is, yes, there are collective shifts that are happening where you may become more tired or you're doing a lot more inner work, and there is a theme of people being tired or exhausted, especially when we're getting sometimes a lot of downloads of faster moving energy, the intensification of energy, or we're in a gateway, you know, that November, December, or November into January, or May into June, like we're in now, gateway. Some people, it energizes them where they just don't know what to do, and they're just, you know, kind of like almost like on Ritalin. They're just all over the place. Other people, they just really need to sleep. So, yes, that can be going on, but also look at your life and see whether male or female, are there hormonal issues? Has your diet changed? Are you getting enough water? Are you getting supplements? Have you been extra stressed emotionally? Have you been doing more physically? Do you have 3, 4, 5 children and, you know, and it's just caught up with you? So, again, I think on everything, even dreams, you need to look at the individual, the personal, as well as what's going on collectively. And I feel usually you'll find it's a little bit of both. All right. Let's go. Hello, Todd, Monopoly. Hello, guests. Hello, Queen. Hello, Forsaggy, Tamara, Thai Fruit. Hello, everyone in the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. Great to connect with all of you. Again, press 1 on the keypad if you have a question or a comment. And that number again is 347-539-5122. And let's get to 267-285. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hello, lovely.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. This is Cassie.
Hi, Cassie.
How are you?
Oh, I am, you know what, I'm doing really well today. It's one of those days that it's a wonderful flow. It's always some flows you prefer, right, more than others.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I'm calling because I had a question for you. First, I just wanted to say I really, really love the talk because I felt like everything that you said freed my soul. I've been going through every last one of them, or I felt it, or you've confirmed a lot of things, which you always are doing. So, so I just thought I would say that first.
Thank you. Oh, no, I appreciate hearing that because, you know, sometimes I think, gosh, Michelle, you just talk and talk. But I actually listened. I had quite a few guests and then some friends of mine that are also clients emailing me and then some talking in person saying, We really like when you talk or do readings in the beginning. We love your guests also, but would you please, you know, I think you should do that. And I listen, and I said, okay, so it's not coming just from the ego level. So I appreciate that, Cassie. I appreciate that feedback. Thank you.
Yes, and I appreciate you as well.
It's a great way to connect, isn't it? It's kind of fun.
Yes, it's awesome. And I love being on your show. I love being in your classes. I just love that connection between me and people that I haven't connected physically, but that connection is still there. So I do really
Isn't it? It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. You don't realize how much of a difference it makes, but it really does make a difference.
Yay.
I'm sorry if I sound a little, you know, I probably sound a little manly right now, but I have my throat is really bothering me. But my question
That's okay.
to you is,
sounds good.
I wanted to know.
What just happened? Kathy, did we lose you? Hello? Kathy? Oh, I think we just blocked. Kathy, come back. Okay. I just want to check sound with everybody. God, it's funny. Kathy is resonating in the sixth dimension. Yes. Kathy, you got to call back. Wow, I love it. We're like, call back in. I'll pick up again. Kathy, call back in. It's almost like as Todd is saying, it's like strange. It's like digital noise, like an alien would sound. Maybe somebody's coming through. Oh, my God. We need Shekinah on here, remember? Shekinah that does that sound. Okay, Kathy, call back in. Okay, 408-368.
Yeah, let me
call. Kathy's going to call back in. Hello.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, welcome.
Hello?
And who am I? Who am I?
Hi, this is Sheila.
Hi, Sheila.
Can you hear me okay? I have a little bit of a cold, and I'm in kind of a noisy place.
Okay, no, I can hear you.
Okay. Love everything that you're saying also. I have a question on career. And
based on what? Say it again.
I have a question on career. And I was wondering if you think I have a new opportunity that I was given. And I was wondering if you think that I should go with that. And I've also been contacted by some other places for like new work. I was wondering
And you're wanting to know, it does show choices, and major, major choices, actually. So this is something, potential new direction also. Does one of them a new direction for you?
Yeah.
It's showing that. It's a big change.
And it's a little overwhelming.
Okay. Let's see. Which one are you drawn to? I feel like the new.
Within the company that I'm in, I've been given the opportunity to kind of go in a new direction and potentially start a new team. And then the others, I've been contacted by other places to do kind
it's
of
totally
similar
new.
Work. Yeah, totally
but
new.
Similar work, but totally new. Okay, let's look. So think of choice A. I definitely feel new direction around you. Choice, take a choice B we're going to do. Okay. B is a little more speculative, and it wasn't there seems to be something that you're uncertain about there. It potentially could be maybe more creative or more project-based, but A was resonating stronger. Is that making sense to you?
Is A the one that I'm, currently like at my current company?
Well, I was doing A was like you what you were thinking of first. To think of the first,
okay.
What was the first job that you were thinking of? The first one. Let's see.
Okay.
Is that with where you're at now?
Yeah, it's starting a new team, like kind of going in a new direction than what I've been doing before, but it's at my current company.
Okay. Well, I feel like more that. I mean, there's some, you know what it is? There's a little more security in position A, right? Is that
mm-hmm.
making sense? I feel like, yeah, and I feel like part of you, I feel like the new direction will be good for you, the team aspect and leadership and branching out. I know there is a part of you, it may be the next, what I like to say, incarnation after you do this. You may bridge
mm-hmm.
into more of the B opportunities. But the B feels a little bit shaky. I don't know if it's a little more project-based. The A seems a little more corporate-y.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more solid. It could be a little more restrictive, you know, and there's definitely some signing of some contracts that's showing. But for the now, that was the one that was resonating stronger for you.
Okay.
How will she feel if she goes with A? With B. You know, I just love it. Sometimes we have to not, you know, and I'm not saying you're doing this or not, but, you know, again, you know, when I talked at the beginning of the program about our own energy pattern and finding our rhythm. Sometimes, like what I see with this is A might feel too restrictive for you, like, oh, it's the same old, or I've been here, I want to branch out, I want to be free.
Mm-hmm.
But B, you know, maybe there's some things that need to be integrated, some steps to get to B and to have the way that B unfolds in a way that's more in alignment with your energy pattern and your needs and wants. You follow what I'm saying? So
yeah, I need a little bit more before I can get to B.
Yeah, and not that, and it might be B in a different way. You know, it might be. I'm just thinking. I don't know. Just people. You know, everybody does things a little bit differently. Like someone may just jump into something, and someone else may say, you know, it's like the proverbial what saying of okay, some people just jump in the pool, and some people put their feet in for a little bit. They're still going in that pool. But maybe they want to put their feet in a little bit, or they want to go in the hot tub first, you know, or the jacuzzi, and then the cold water. Some other people go, I want to go in the cold water only, or I want to go in the cold water first and then the jacuzzi. You see what I'm saying? I feel like you're learning what kind of the more subconscious needs are, you know, of how you transition and what needs to be there. But I feel there's this part of you that says, I want to do B, I want to be there, I want to make this jump. But another part of your inner psyche is not quite there yet. It's saying, well, we want to jump, but we want to jump with a little bit more of a net.
Okay. Yeah. I've been at my company for 6 years, and part of me, I really like it and here, and it's, you know, it's still a great company, part of me is like just wants to change. I want to do consulting and travel more, or like still work somewhere else.
Yeah. So you'll get there. So this is the thing. A lot of times we get a heads up from the higher self of where we're going, what we want, but there needs to be something there. I don't know if it's an emotional situation needs to be settled. Is it a certain amount in the bank account? Is it another goal? You know, some people's I need to gain weight, I need to lose weight, I need to work out more. I don't know. Whatever it is, there's different changes, and they don't always make logical sense, but there's different, you know, aspects of ourselves that we need to connect with, work on, integrate, you know, that once we do that, then we're ready for that next level. And that's what I feel with you. I definitely feel B is where you're going, but you need to do it in a way that's going to feel, you know, you'll still be a little extending out, a little you know, fear of the unknown. It's something uncertain, a little, oh, my God, you know, it's something new. I'm excited, but can I do it, really? So there'll be a little of that. There's always going to be fear when we go into the unknown. But there's something in A that's still satisfying you, or if there's some needs there, some kind of Capricornian structure needs. How you work that out in yourself will determine how you're able to do B. And maybe it's setting up B now, starting little by little, seeing what can you do to start bridging to that.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Thanks, Michelle.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling in. Bye. All right. 267-285. I think it's Kathy again.
Yes, it is me. I'm not even sure. I don't know what happened.
All of a sudden,
you were talking, and then all of a sudden I heard other people talking, and it was just like all this static, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? Okay, so let me just ask the question real quick, just in case something happened.
Okay,
my question is, I know you said that during this time there's a lot of conflict, particularly in relationship and things like that. And I'm noticing that there are some things coming up with my job and,
mm-hmm.
you know, certain people. It just seems like it came out of the blue where everything was fine, and then all of a sudden
mm-hmm.
I'm seeing, like, a certain group of people. It seems like people are trying to, like, stir up things or start things.
Yes.
And it's weird because I feel like the odd man out, because I'm like, I don't want to be involved in it, but yet there are certain people that are seem like they're trying to push me into it or make me involved in it. So I wanted to know if you can give me, I don't know what kind of insight that you can give me, but if you can give me some, that would be great.
Well, yeah, okay, a couple of things, and this is for you and everyone else as well, is that, you know, conflict, whether within ourselves or externally, is always a call for harmony or harmonization, or again, what we've been talking about, balance, integration. What you're finding now, and really it started in 2009, but I would say this year, you know, somewhere between 2011 and 2012, it started kicking into high gear. And then we have that Saturn and, Scorpio happening. Well, we had Saturn in Libra, Saturn in Scorpio. So the last couple of years, it's really intensifying. Some of it is people remember feeling this intense energy as well. They don't just necessarily know that it's evolutionary changes. They just feel, they look out in their world and see uncertainty, you know, higher levels of fear. They feel the intensification of energy. So a lot of times what people will do when they have extra energy is pick a fight. So that's part of what I'm seeing where you're at is there's even uncertainty I feel in the workplace. There's some administrative things going on, and I feel some of the people that are around you are picking up on that or know of that, as well as they're just feeling this kind of cosmic unrest, if you will, and they don't have an outlet for it, and so they will look like a cranky little toddler that just, you know, doesn't want to sleep but doesn't want to go to bed, you know, and just wants to cry and throw things, right? It's just like, mm-hmm. what do I do? Until they learn how to manage their own energy. So in a way, cosmically, that's what a lot of people are learning how to do in the mainstream world. That's part of it. The other thing that I feel also for you is that you're starting, and this is for everyone, seeing what fits and what doesn't fit. What do you want more of and what do you want less of? So some of these people that you may have been closer to or more on talking terms, it just may not be a match. And sometimes it's not even thing that you do. It's just you're smiling more, or you might feel more peaceful in yourself, and they can't get those hooks in. Yeah,
okay.
And they can't get those hooks in. So that's part of what's happening as well. And so people keep trying and trying. You know, in the Taoist tradition of the I Ching, the Tao Te Ching, it says people have prowling egos. And so when they're feeling a little insecure, a little fearful, to try to, you know, people overshop. They do things like that, overshop, overeat, over-medicate. But they also, the prowling ego, will try to throw somebody else off, right? and engage so that they feel stronger, feel, you know, a false sense of strength.
Yeah, because
you know,
what I'm
seeing is... Or by
taking
somebody else down, right?
Yeah, because what I'm seeing is it seems like I'm certain that it's one person, but they have found a way to get other people involved. And these are people that, as you said, I was on talking terms with and everything was fine. And then all of a sudden, it's like, what happened? You know, now it's like they don't want to talk to me. They don't want anything to do with me. Oh, we heard you said this. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And the person that is creating this is not even here. She's out on medical leave, which is crazy to me. So I'm just...
Something that happens, and true power or empowerment, which is usually quiet, one that perceives they don't have power, right? Because it's all about power over or power under. So people that are constantly in a victim status, and I don't mean, you know, we all get to victim. Something happens to us, you get abused or whatever. Something happens, okay, you're there for a minute. But people that stay chronically in that victim mode, and they're feeling overpowered. They're not stepping into or acknowledging their power, their true power empowerment. Same with the bully. Someone that feels that they don't have power will sometimes try to overpower someone else to feel that false strength. And I had a situation like this in high school, and somebody, and they started a fight with me. I mean, I was like, what? And I thought, and I was friendly with this person. And a very good teacher and therapist at the time said, oh, well, you're very powerful. You know, you're very calm. I said, no, I'm not. You're calm. No,
yeah, that's
I'm
not.
Not.
Thinking.
And
wait,
like,
no, I'm not.
I'm like, no, I'm not. But it's something that communicates subliminally, subconsciously, that sense of self, that connectedness, that interconnectedness, which is really true power, empowerment. People that don't have that or that are trying to get it externally, when the world starts shaking up, whether their personal world or collective world or both, they look to who can I take down a couple of pegs to feel better, or who can I start the drama. So I think my perception is you're doing the right thing by not engaging.
Okay.
And I would just meditate before you go in, raise your vibrational frequency, really get into that, those upper chakras, and connect and see them in that higher state as well. Connect to them visually, vibrationally, to that level. Even just acknowledging, like, okay, I know they're acting out this right now, but there is this other part of them. Just acknowledging that will make you less of a target.
Okay. Okay, I can do that.
All right.
Thank
yeah.
you so much,
no,
Michelle.
Good.
All right.
You're very, very welcome. Much peace.
All right. Same to you. Bye-bye.
Too. All right. Todd, you gave me a good focus. It's going to take longer, but next week I want to get to the energetic, writing it down, upgrades. And also, as always, just, you know, email me, awakenings@selfandlight.com or awakeningsradio@gmail.com with your email questions. Yeah, because I love answering those. I love the dialogue. Yeah. Oh, Tamara, good. You can come to this one. Oh, Principles of Manifesting at eventbrite.com. Yeah, that's the next teleworkshop, which I believe is the 29th of this month, 29th of June. 3 o'clock Pacific time, Principles of Manifesting. And you can go to that at eventbrite.com, Principles of Manifesting. And that's the next tele-soul path workshop. All right, let me mute here. You know, and one of the ways we raise our vibrational frequency or get in that oneness of love, light, and wisdom is through devotion or kirtan. Just talking, sharing, but music has a way of getting us there or allowing us to be where we are really already. We have a great, great guest today. Some of you heard me speak at the top of the program about her. I just always feel honored when she gets to come on Awakenings Radio. We have Sister Shree with us. She's a devotional musician. Major diverse career, musical roots in soul, blues, jazz, funk, and gospel. And she has over 30 years of studying the ancient practice of mantra meditation. She's recognized for her unique fusion of music styles. She's been invited to travel worldwide to share her blend of gospel and R&B inspired melodies combined with sacred devotional chants. Sister Sri also performs the devotional music with her New York City-based band, Hanuman. And this, those of you that are listening, I just want to let everyone know, this Saturday, June 8th, at the Harlem Yoga Studio at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, she will be doing devotional music there. I really want to welcome Sister Sri. Hello.
Thank you.
Oh, welcome. Oh, my gosh. I can't. You have not been here for a while, right? You've been in India.
Yes, I'm living in India full time now, and that's been really, really good.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Are you right? And we're going to play people in the chat are saying welcome. Well,
I'm sorry.
We're getting hellos and welcome to you in the chat room. People are saying hello and welcome.
Thank you, thank you. Shri Ram, Jada.
Yes, yes. Always so wonderful to connect with you. You're doing a lot now, too, also. Well, let's dive in with a little bit with what you're doing, because I want to make sure that people know how they can find out more about you, which one is going to sistersri.com.
Yes.
But you're also doing working with a charitable organization now called Operation Shanti.
Shanti. Yes, yes, yes. Operation Shanti was started by a yoga student, a student of Guruji's, Pattabhi Joyce, about 8, maybe 10 years ago. I'm, not sure exactly what, the years now. But
right.
She started a street program. She first started going out on the street and just helping the kids. Initially, she got started by helping a young child who was on the street really, really sick. And she said, oh, my God, this little baby is sick. And she took her to the hospital. She took her to the doctor. And when it came time to return her to her home, she realized there's no home, only the curb. When she took the little girl back, a lot of other little girls and little boys and mothers and uncles and grandmothers came around to thank her for it. And she felt so, it was so disturbing to her that she actually took a child to the doctor who was actually going to spend the night sleeping, on the street because there was no place for her to go. So she started this program with the help of Swamiji, a sadhu who lives up in a cave on the hill, on Chamunda Hill. And with his help, she was able to get the organization, the foundation, going. But for the first 2, maybe 3 years, it was really a street program with just, she would go out on the street every single day, not missing a day, and she would take supplies. And then she solicited other yoga students to come and help her, but the yoga students weren't there for long periods of time, so she really concentrated on trying to get those students who were really devoted about coming down and where there could be some consistency within what they were doing. And there were a lot of students, to the students' credit. There were a lot of students who came down initially to help her when she was on the street. Eventually, she got a house, a physical structure. So now it's an official orphanage, and there are about 60 kids, both boys and girls, and they go to school every day. They have a beautiful place where they also grow a lot of their own vegetables. And I mean, it's one of the most incredible settings that I have ever been. Not in that it's like real, real super pretty or any of that. It's very, very basic. And
but
the
energy there,
the energy is incredible. I've never, ever seen anything like it in all of my 30-something odd years, maybe 40 years of working with children. I have never seen children. I go in once a week when I'm there to work with the children. We do chanting, bhajan chanting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm there usually for an hour and a half, 2 hours. But I go, I sit down, they sit around me, we chant Om three times, and then we chant solid the whole time. And they're so focused, so attentive, they're so into it. These kids are so happy to have the basics. Shelter,
wow.
Food, clothing, they're getting a really good education, they have she does, you know, all their health care and all of that kind of stuff. And different people come, you know, during the week for different types of classes. They have music class. They have dance class. They have karate class. They have lots of meditation. They honor all the religions of the world. There are Hindu kids, Muslim kids, Christian kids, you name it. They're all there together worshiping the gods that they worship and in the way that they worship, but also being exposed to each other and the cultural differences that they all have. But the one thing that they have in their heart is just this tremendous love for God and this thank, you know, it's just like you look in their eyes and they just have so much love, and it's just what any little thing that you do, it's like they thank you for. And so it's like, to me, it's the essence of what yoga practice is.
Yeah.
I feel that the person who put this place together, her name is Tracy, and she's from the United States, San Francisco. Originally, her family, I believe they're from Hawaii. And I mean, I can't say enough things about her. In fact, I'm sitting here getting really emotional as I speak to you, because just her devotion, which I have to say, my teacher, Guruji Patavi Joyce, that's what I love so much about him, with his devotion to God and his devotion to Guru and his willingness to sacrifice for years and years and years and years and years. And he was a person who did not make a lot of money teaching yoga, doing this. He just had devotion to God and Guru, and to take the teachings that he learned and to give those to any disciple that wanted to come and sit at his feet. And he did that for many, many years. And as he became an old man in his 90s, he did eventually start to make money, because you can make a lot of money teaching yoga, particularly if you're a great master like him. But his devotion, the other part of his life, is the life that really makes my eyes just light up and my heart and soul light up, because he had a way of moving Shakti, energy. He knew how he could, you know, help you elevate your energy to the highest level so that you too could do service with a generous, open, loving heart in the same way that he had been taught by his guru. So it's you know, Mysore is a really important place to me because of the devotion of the devotion. There's so much devotion there. So much devotion. And you, if you go there and you...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. And if you go there and you do practice for a while, you start to feel that devotion, that divinity. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm talking too much.
No. I know. I just had a couple questions, because we actually have somebody in our chat that said they grew up in an orphanage and have always had a vision to have one. I know, isn't that a wonderful synchronicity on that? So another question is, well, two questions. Do the children speak English, and then how can people help internationally?
The children go to a school where they do learn English, and so it's really nice because I don't speak any Kannada. And the children, when the program started 8 or 10 years ago, they didn't speak any English at all. And now, because they all go to the school, they are learning English, and there are several students who are fluent and speak English quite well.
Ah,
and,
okay.
And if you go online and just look up Operation Shanti, and I'm sorry, I should have their email address, but you can get in touch with them very easily. There's lots and lots and lots of information on Operation Shanti and the work that Tracy is doing with the children there. It's just amazing. If you're in, if you happen to be in Mysore, it's just a great thing to go out to the orphanage and just take a look for yourself. She's very, very strict about, you know, when people can come, and because she doesn't want it to look like, well, this is a circus or anything, because it's a place where people really live. It has such a nice family dynamic and feeling to it, you know. It's really special.
Beautiful. Well, so we had somebody put in the chat room, they did put in a link to operation-shanti.org and also your Facebook page. Perfect. Thank you, Siren Dreams.
Good.
Thank you for
Thank
putting
you.
That in. Yeah. So you are also, which I look forward to reading, you're working on a new novel.
Yes.
So in
it's
India,
complete. I'm trying to find a publisher.
okay. We'll put it out
it's
there.
It's completely done. And it's not a traditional yoga book by a long shot. It's a book about my journey through yoga, through civil rights and Motown.
That's what I love about you. I remember when I first heard your music, I thought, what a blend. I'm telling you, you're a one of a kind. It's like such, and we're going to play, listeners, we're going to be playing a track from Sister Shree's new CD, Lord Ram. So we'll definitely be playing the title track in a bit so people get a taste.
Oh, good.
Yeah. What would
and
you
that
say is
particular...
important?
That particular piece, I just want to tell you a little bit about it because it also goes with the book, Lord Ram. It's a dedication to Sister Alice Coltrane, Tirusan Gitananda, who was a great teacher, great devotional music player herself. And I heard Alice Coltrane and the then Alice Coltrane and Pharoah Saunders performed Journey into Satchidananda when I was in undergrad school in California. And I thought, I had never in my life heard a piece of music that was so incredible. And to this day, it's still my absolute favorite recording. And because the piece itself, it takes you on an internal journey that leads you to joy. It is so blissful. And I know that piece of music elevated my Shakti, my Kundalini was awakened through those vibrational tones from that piece. I felt so much joy. The first time that it was played for me, I could not stop playing it. I must have played that particular album every single day, all day long, for probably 10 or 15 years.
Wow. Okay, we got a question in the chat, Sister Shree. Which one is it? We missed the title. Which piece? The Coltrane, which piece was it that you played over and over?
Journey into Satchidananda, and it was her dedication to her then guru, Swami Satchidananda.
And who was this that the title piece from? We're asking in the chat.
It was to Swami Satchidananda, and it was by Alice Coltrane and Pharoah.
By Alice Coltrane. Yeah, Alice Coltrane seemed to be quite a mystic, very connected.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, she had an ashram, and I think it's still in operation in California.
Ah.
Yes, so she has a whole spiritual community behind her and with her, and just incredible, just an incredible person. And you could see that in the music, her work, her whole body of work, her musical body of work is just, I feel, is like her testimony to life and the goodness of God and, you know, it's her energy.
Wasn't jazz, some of the jazz, or when they go, I just guess, improvisational, kind of like a meditation, and I think Alice Coltrane, I guess, used meditation or as a form of meditation?
I always look at it as music. I forget which of the one of those great jazz people, jazz artists, musicians, said that music is a healing force of the universe. I don't remember exactly who it was, but it's so true. It is, music can transform a mood, it can elevate, it can mellow out you so quickly. And my teacher, Dion Yogi, said that sound is the bridge between the soul and God. And so after you've listened to this absolute, incredible sound will take you deep into silence. And silence is where we commune and we are with God. And so that's the beauty and the power of music. And within silence, we can go anywhere. We can heal anything because we're with God.
Mm-hmm. But we do need to go there, right? We need to go into the silence.
Silence is so profound. You know, a few years ago, and this happened before Guruji took samadhi, a few years ago, about 5 years ago, my body got to the point where the yoga, just can't do it anymore, the physical yoga. The hatha yoga, the postures. Unfortunately, I had something terrible happen. I was in two really bad car accidents, one as a teenager and one as a young adult. And the doctors always told me that eventually you're going to have arthritis really bad because of trauma to the joints. They knew both times that yoga was a big part of my life, and they both agreed you should continue to do yoga, as much yoga as you can, because that's going to prolong and preserve you for a long time. And I did it for as long as I could do it. And so now my practice is just basic stretching. But I have learned that being in nature and learning more about the vibration of the trees and the growing of plants and the roots, how they travel deep into the earth. My yoga practice is based more on the energy, the subtle energy of the universe. And it's just so profoundly wonderful and beautiful when we actually, you know, align ourselves with the planet and the depths of what the energy actually is and the vibrations that are all around us. And so it's really interesting. I recently moved from Mysore to Bangalore, and Mysore was just perfect because I lived in Guruji's daughter's house. She built a beautiful house it's a beautiful house at the bottom, and the top part of it is a yoga shala that she built some years ago. that they didn't use, but then after Guruji passed away, she started teaching her early morning classes up in the yoga shala above my house. And it was so nice to be there and with that early morning vibration. And the house was beautiful. It's in Gokulam, which is a beautiful community of Mysore. And then there's this majestic lake there called Kukurahalli Lake. And so I was fortunate in that I could go to that lake every morning for sunrise, and then I'd go again for sunset. And in between, there was this beautiful Saraswatiji, Guruji's daughter, teaching yoga upstairs. So everything was really, really perfect. But I felt like there was something more that I needed to do, and probably in another place. So I decided that I would move from Mysore into Bangalore, and just by chance.
Which is more populated, a lot more populated.
It's way
right?
more populated.
Yeah.
But the thing that it has more of than Mysore are trees.
Oh.
It's a city that honors trees in the same way, almost the same way, that the cow, the way the cow is holy in India, I realize in this city, the tree is holy also. The trees in Bangalore are like works of art. Well, they are works of art. They're God's art. They're so incredibly beautiful. And the thing that I like the most about them is that they have been allowed to grow the way that they want to grow. So there's no manicuring of the trees or any of that kind of thing. And so you can go up a boulevard and the trees are so tall and they reach over towards one another. So they form these beautiful, beautiful arcs. So when it's 110 degrees outside, if you happen to be near those trees, you feel cool. And Bangalore is completely polluted, but you feel like there's fresh air. So it's amazing. It's an amazing thing that happens in India. You know, India is yes and no at the same time, always. And Bangalore is one of those cities. So I live next door to Sri Aurobindo's ashram in Bangalore and across from Ulsar Lake. So I still have an ashram and hundreds of temples all around me, and I have a lake right in front of me. So although I'm not living in Mysore now, I say to all of my friends who come to Mysore, well, this makes your journey shorter now, because you can come and stay with me for a night, and then you can travel on the four-hour journey. You can continue on to Mysore.
I wanted to ask you, in your journey, because you've really, delved within and really studied mantra meditation and that comes through in your music, what have you found is most important? What do you keep coming back to in the journey? What seems...
Service.
That was
devotion.
My next question. What about saving and service? Service and devotion, okay.
Those two things, you know. With the devotion, you can do the service. But I say to the students all the time, I don't teach so much anymore, but I do devotional music concerts. And the one thing that I always say is please, as a yogi, it is our duty to serve everyone, anyone you see that's in need, it's your duty. You do it. You serve. You do it. You whatever you can do to make the situation better. And if we all start to do that, Gil Scott Heron used to say, we not only should we pray for peace, but let's work for peace. We have to work for peace.
You have to do
if
the doing.
Each one
right?
teaches one. All we need is one. One to teach one to do.
Yeah.
You know, if we just get one, we're winning.
Yeah. I find that, too. I like what you say, not just praying for it, but the action. And I find, if you would look at it universally or cosmologically, the cycle we're in is really requiring, action and accountability, that it's not enough – to just pray or hope or talk about it, but what are we actually
that's
individually
right.
doing? Yeah.
That's right.
Do you think that's more, I mean, like there's, yeah, like your, you know, the story of Operation Shanti, I mean, that person really, I mean, talk about stepping up. what if someone can't quite do that? I mean, how do you know where to, I guess, be of service or how to be of service?
You know,
a lot of people ask me that question.
Lot.
What do
Every,
I do? Okay.
You know, if you're just like, I think, I say to people all the time, if you're out on the street and someone needs help, help them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy, particularly when you're in a city like New York. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just opening a door for a person that's
mm-hmm.
handicapped or a person whose door is just too big for them to handle, you know? It's
mm-hmm.
just little things. Every little thing that we do for each other, it reestablishes
yeah.
the fact that that love, that old-fashioned love is still here. It's, and it is. I see people helping each other all the time. I see people assisting each other. And every, it's an opportunity to serve.
I like that
it's
you said every little thing.
Every
yeah.
little thing counts. Everything. I mean, you can't always do everything, and I know that and I understand that, but I know that we can all do a little bit, and with each of us doing
yeah.
a little bit, we can get back to where we need to be. It's, and it's
mm-hmm.
not that we're so far off, because the majority of people in the world are so good that it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
There's some nice, nice people in this world.
We need to see more of that.
Yeah.
I
tell you, I was so happy. I happened to be watching the news one day last week, and I think it was Philadelphia. It was one of the big cities that has a subway system. And I don't know if the person who had the baby with the baby carriage, I don't know if you saw this, was standing on the platform. And I think
oh,
that
I
the person
it.
Was...
It almost rolled... Yes, it almost rolled
yeah,
into the...
Oh, the roll, the baby carriage rolled onto the tracks. It rolled down. And all the people around that saw it happen went to help out. They got that baby up and all the things before the train came. I was like, yes, you know? And see, that's the kind of thing. That's the energy that gets... You know, I mean, that's about as dangerous as it can get. It's really dangerous to do that. But nobody thought about the danger. All people saw was that there was a baby and a carriage on a track. You know,
mm-hmm.
we got to do something about it. And I was like,
so maybe
you
it's
know,
that instinct, recovering that,
it's
instinct,
that
instinct to just give, you know, open, give.
Sometimes with all the new technology and stuff that we have, technology is good. Don't get me wrong. I think it's great that things are easy in life. But I think that sometimes we need to put that stuff down, particularly when we're out in public, because, you know, those are the times when things can happen. Like if all the
yeah.
other people had been on cell phones or texting or, you know, doing stuff, they would not have seen that incident
yeah,
take place. And so we have to get our souls back and opened again, because we tend to sort of like get drawn into our little gadgets and
yeah.
we kind of forget the rest of the world. So I'm just asking people to kind of look up from time, you know, look up a little bit, particularly when you're out or even when you're at home and your kids need you. I mean, come on. Put cell
yeah.
phone down. It's cute, but... You know.
Yeah. I like that. Be looking. Yeah. I had a situation the other day. I was in Whole Foods, and I hadn't shopped in a few weeks. I had all this,
uh-huh.
you know, my purse was on the bottom. I had all these, bags, recycle bags. And this homeless man came up asking for money, which I didn't have any change on me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, I'm hungry. I go, well, take some bananas. So he's reaching in my car, getting all these cars are backed up, getting the bananas. And I wish somebody
great.
Had a picture. And he's looking
That's
around
wonderful.
Thinking, oh, God, if we stay any here longer, he'll be going through the rest of the bags. But But you're right. Had I been on the phone, you know, I think you're right. It's those moments that you just need to be open, because if
yes.
you are preoccupied with something, you will miss it, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Had
it's
I been on the so, phone, I probably,
so
I, you know, would have missed it. Now, Sister Shri, you've been, you've got how many CDs out, by the way? You've got like 6 or 7 or more? Is it? You've got
there's
quite
seven
a,
now.
There's seven. Okay.
Yes. 3 of them were done in India. This latest, the new one, the dedication to Alice Coltrane, is produced here in the U.S. in New York. So, and Unplugged.
Yeah.
That was done in India.
Yeah. And so you have, okay, could you have
music? It's a meditation piece.
Okay, we're going to do that. I think we'll wait towards the end of our segment and then play out to, unless you want to play it first and talk about it, it's up to you.
However yeah. you'd like to do it. We could play a little bit and talk about it.
Yeah, okay, we can do that.
Okay.
And before we get to that, I had a question about, so you have a New York-based band, Hahnemann. Now, who
yes.
plays, because you're writing, are you recording in India, or do you come back to New York? How does that work?
I did 3 recordings in India, so with Indian musicians, a group that I put together with, there's one group from Bangalore, and then there's another group in Mysore. Basically,
okay.
the ones in Mysore are studio musicians that I use with a musician that I'm friendly with there and an engineer that I know really well. Yeah. And it's interesting going back and forth because just the whole approach to music is so different in India because you have these people who are like generational. They're from families that are, you know, fourth and fifth generation veena players, violin players, tabla players.
Mm-hmm.
And they're incredible musicians, technical musicians. I just love what they do. The musicians that I work with here are, in many ways, I enjoy working with them more because there's a passion that Western musicians have that is just, it's just hard to, it's almost spiritual. It's like, you know, they wanted to play music so bad, and sometimes they're from families whose families thought, well, you know, music is playing. It's like, we call it playing
right.
music here. So a
yeah.
lot of people really feel that that's playing, that's not work.
Yeah.
You know, when you're from the West, that's kind of the attitude that a family might have. The families aren't so supportive of you becoming musicians because, I mean, is that really going to give you a living? Because there's so many people who want to do it. How are you going to support yourself? So a lot of times you'll find the musicians who come from here, just the love for music is just so big. And that will come through. I think one of the reasons that American music from the United States is so popular, I'm telling you, you hear music from the United States, I don't care where you go in this world, you will hear music from this country. And it's because people really enjoy it, and it's because it's so spiritually based.
Yeah.
Not to say music from other places isn't, because of course it is. But it's, I think that one of the reasons why anywhere you go, even if I go to a small village in India that has one radio in the village, that radio is going to play Western music.
Mm.
You know? And
it's
sometimes
amazing
it's the
how
popular
impactful.
People, it has, you know, our music, the music that comes from this country has impacted the world. It's just, it's beautiful music. And again, music from all over the world is really beautiful. But we really have our place also, so it's really nice.
Yeah, it is beautiful. We're reaching out in that way. We reach out in that way, whether they know it or not. You know, we're reaching
yeah.
over.
I remember going to a woman's house in New Delhi of all places, and she had every single release that Mahalia Jackson ever did. I was like, really? I was like,
wow.
Really? It was like the most incredible collection. And she was so proud. She took me into this little room. She says, I have something to show you. And I said, well, what? And she said, music. You love music. I love music. Let me show you. And she said it. I couldn't believe it. I just could not believe what I saw. I was so happy. Mahalia Jackson.
I guess it goes.
And I'm in Australia,
yeah.
And there's a really popular rock and roll guy who, an Australian musician, and he named his daughter Mahalia because he loved Mahalia Jackson so much.
It does, you know, it goes beyond miles, beyond locale, beyond.
Yes.
Language, you know, it is really a universal language. You know,
it is. Because you can feel it. You can just, music is something you can feel, your heart and soul, and it can open that heart chakra that's sometimes closed so tight, you know?
A little rusty.
Yes.
Sister Sri, it looks like we will play it out. I thank you so much for the honor of you coming on Awakenings today. I really appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting
the time
me.
To share.
And if you'll send me your mailing address, I will send you a new copy.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
And again, just to let everyone know, we've been speaking with Sister Sri, and you have a Soulful Night of Devotion, which is Saturday, June 8th at the Harlem Yoga Studio at 6:30 p.m. for all of our listeners that are in that part of the world. And we're going to play a bit of the title track, Lord Ram, from your latest CD called Lord Ram.
Thank you.
All right.
Om Shanti Om. That's the name of the new book.
Ooh. We'll be waiting. You'll have to come back on for that as well. All right.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Thank you.
Om.
Namaste. Bye-bye.
Bye. Right. I'm going to play out a little bit of Lord Ram. Okay, it's not... Well, I heard it before it got uploaded. It's not, Sister Sri.
Do you want me to play it? Will it work if I play it?
Yeah, a little. Yeah, it didn't. Something happened. I don't know. I have to talk to the producer. Somehow, it's not. We had this little sound before. Yeah, that's definitely not it.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I'm just
so something got corrupted in the file. Yeah.
Oh. So there's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah, we've got 10 seconds. Well, you're going to have to just go to your site, SisterSri.com.
Yes.
And
I'm wondering if it would work if I'm playing it.
If you play out a little bit. We're recording a little. You can try and play a little bit of it, and people get
let
a little taste of it.
See.
Guess we, Tamara's putting. Guess we need to buy the CD. Yeah, that is so. That's never happened before. And we had somebody that called in earlier was asking questions, and their phone was doing that garbly.
Oh, so maybe that's what happened.
Well, I can't quite explain it because the audio clips are not on they're not connected to the when people call in. So I'm not sure
what caused it.
Yeah. So sorry about that. Well,
That's really
I'll try.
Too
I'll
bad.
Have it re-uploaded, and then maybe next week. Let's see if it's still doing it. Yeah. I'll have the producer re-upload it and see if it's the file or if there's something strange technologically going on that I don't can't readily see on the control panel here. And I'll play it next week. You will get to hear it,
all
but
right,
our listeners will.
Okay. Thank you so
much. Anyway, thank you. Thank you so much, Sister Shree.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, and of course that was Sister Shree, and you can find out more information about her and her latest CD, Lord Ram, which is phenomenal. I listened to it. It's beautiful. She's got like 6 other CDs out as well, but this is the latest. And again, for those of those listeners on the East Coast, this Saturday, June 8th, at the Harlem Yoga Studio at 6:30 p.m., there'll be a soulful night of devotional music and chanting. For more information on Sister Shree, go to facebook.com, Sister Shree, or sistershree.com as well. Thanks so much, everyone, for being here. Love you bunches. I always love our Wednesdays together. And just rock it this week. Really, go out, share your insight, shine your light, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.